American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, April 28th, 2005. And what does that mean? That means you've got one more day until the weekend, baby. Hang in there. You can do it. This is Newsreel, your source for independent media news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you right now. Or chances are, if you're listening to this at work, it's already enslaved your sorry ass. Quickly, get up. Go outside. Move now. You'll live. Just only if you do exactly what I tell you, and you'll have a clear picture of exactly what I'm telling you to do. If you can get along to my live journal, Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com, and at my live journal, you'll hear all my pathetic rantings based upon my plans to take over the universe, set up cult communes, and make certain that we can develop Mecca to develop the human race into a spacefaring breed of, well, I don't know, Warhammer 40k Space Marines, I guess. That'd probably be the best bet. But you'll know it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say, "Oi, long live the Emperor!" This is a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info. It's hot. We're taking over the entire web. Pretty soon we're going to have more infections than Clear Channel. And you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. We're trying like hell to get this thing syndicated everywhere. So if you know someone who's into syndication, remember, Rant Media put the sin back in syndication. Let's get straight into some feedback. Dear Sean, as I've stated in my previous email, okay, now, you need to understand that I get so much bloody email that if you expect me to remember your email, you are smoking better drugs than I am. And anyway, as I've stated in my previous email, I'm about to travel from the far southwest of the United States as possible to almost the farthest northeast. That's where I'm traveling to. One thought. You mentioned previously truck drivers listening to your show, which is true. I guess there's a lot of truck drivers who download the show, put it in the iPod, put it in their rocket rigs, and then tear ass off across the country. I guess that's how it works. Well, I'm going to attempt to multiply that factor. Whoa. It all begins with a spindle of about 500 CDs. That's a big spindle. I'm currently burning your latest shows and putting them into individual paper sleeves. I plan to leave at least 10 CDs at every fuel pump, diner, and bloody restroom. That's over 3,200 miles of randomly placed free media to be picked up by truckers, grandmothers, and five-year-old snipers. Yes, it's true. Anyways, just figured I'd let you know what I'm up to. Caber Lord. Well, thank you very much, Caber Lord. That's an awesome idea. Make sure that you check out Google and some Maps Quest places so that you know that there are exactly enough. Well, that there's 320 rest stops between there and here, but I imagine in the great American continent, there must be at least 320 as you cross the country, but I could be wrong. Also, truckers are a pretty interesting breed. You see, the thing I found out about truckers, and I used to work at a truck stop. I used to work at a tire repair shop. This is when I'm back in the day now, and I was like, about 16, 17, 18. I worked for Pork Hills Tire, which did all truck tires and stuff. Like, truckers are a funny breed. Generally, there's not a lot of bullshit with the truckers, you know what I mean? Because on the highway, you know, when you're out there tearing ass down the road, there's not a lot of bullshit out there. So they generally get to see through the veil pretty good because they're constantly in transit. They're always seeing all walks of life. So if the truckers enjoy this show, that's great. Because honestly, if I think that the truckers would enjoy this show, then it gives a lot of the show some very serious merit to me because I have a lot of respect for the mental capacity of truckers. A lot of people are like, "What are you talking about, John? They're truck drivers. All they do is drive a truck." Yeah, well, you know, if you need to ask me that question, you don't know much about truck drivers. You don't know much about what it is to be in constant transit. The truck driver is the modern-day existent nomad. He's the king of the nomad class because, I mean, bear in mind, these people are tearing around in mansions on wheels. You got to bear in mind, some of these trucks are worth, like, well, $500,000. Some of them are probably worth more. I've seen some Volvo trucks that got to be worth over $1 million. I mean, they're probably sick, sick money. And these men are driving these things all over the country, keeping our country rolling. If it wasn't for the truckers, how much do you think your little electronics would cost? How much do you think I'd be paying for my iPod? Well, I don't own an iPod, but if I did own an iPod, how much do you think I'd be paying for it if it wasn't for the truckers? You betcha. Because they bring the tech to us. If there's one group we should ally ourselves with, it would be the truckers. So, Caber Lord, thank you so much for going out there and giving it to them. Make sure that you don't make it look like you're pressing evangelical crap on them, though, and just say, for your entertainment purposes, free media, whatever, label it accordingly, put trucks on it or whatever so that, you know, they know that we're not trying to exploit them, because a lot of people try to exploit these guys. And what's worse is a lot of people think truckers are stupid. You want to piss off a trucker? Talk down to him or even remotely hint that you think he may not be mentally up to snuff. And let me tell you, they're not going to be around too long. They'll be running you over with several tons of freight. Now let's get into Sort Yourself Out. Hey, Sean, where are you going with that axe in your hand? Hey, Sean, I love listening to Newsreel and especially love Sort Yourself Out stuff. I find you often give good advice to people of all ages, and it also helps to see that I'm not the only one feeling the same things that I feel. Now, that's the reason why I do this part of the show. I've been hesitant to write this email, as people started to often write stuff I wanted to say. I just sat back and listened for a while and took in every advice you gave. This is, however, something I am pretty sure never came up. Okay. I have a horrible temper. I mean, really bad. It's gotten the better over the years. Believe it or not, and I took martial arts training and found this helped me some. However, I am not dealing well with every day. I live in a major city, and I find it's getting harder and harder for me to go out in public and deal with the way people are treating one another. I really need to find a way to get this under control to remain calm, but I don't know what to do. I'm getting back into my martial arts training, as that helped me out the first time, and I'm working a lot. My diet is starting to change, and one of these days I'll start taking some vitamins. Any suggestions you can offer would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Okay, well, buddy, your problem here is largely diet, I would say. I mean, okay, you've also got to bear in mind that you don't really have a problem. The problem is largely that society is fucked. All right, right off the top. People are treating other people like crap. And if you're living in a major city inside the United States, well, you're pretty much on the front lines of that crap, aren't you? Yeah, you're right in there seeing people spit on each other and all the rest of it. However... if you are having brutal temper, and believe me, I know exactly what you're talking about. I took a leave from work one time because I just about pulled a guy out of a car and dummied him, you know, because he starts talking trash to me. And you're thinking, and I'm thinking to myself, that I'm going to kill this son of a bitch. Now, the thing is when you start thinking like that, you know, when you're like raging out and you're like, that's it, I must destroy the infidels. At some point, you have to go, bing, 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 wait. I'm not acting rationally. And you have to, you know, stop the counterproductive behavior. So the way to do that best, I find, is first of all, you want to make sure that you're getting lots of ginkgo in your lots of ginkgo biloba, which is a health supplement. It increases the oxygen flow in the blood. You want to make sure that you're getting a lot of vitamin, a good multi-B vitamin, like a B complex, so that this eases stress. Now, the problem here is stress. And I also think that there's probably something that's making you angry, that's frustrating you on a very base level that you're not able to deal with. So we got to find out what you're frustrated about and change that. Maybe you're frustrated with your situation. Maybe you're frustrated with your relationship. Maybe you're frustrated with your partner. Who knows? Okay, but the thing is that you got to deal with that frustration right off the top. Otherwise, the rage will leak out of you. Some people say, you know, well, I don't get angry. Yeah, you do. Everybody gets angry. And what you do is everybody gets a set amount of anger that is generated by their body. Now, what you do with that anger is entirely up to you. You can repress it. You can drive it down in your body until finally it starts to overflow and leak out in weird things where, you know, you get a busy signal on a phone. Next thing you know, you're tearing the phone off the wall and hucking it down the hallway. Well, you are if you're taking steroids. True story. Really happened. But not me, though. I saw it happen to a guy. But honestly, though, if you're having that much rage issues, maybe you need to take some time off. You know, your diet's a huge part of it. Try this. Honest to God, don't give up meat, okay? Because giving up meat is very, very difficult. I'm having a hard time with the whole giving up meat thing because I'm a pretty protein-rich son of a gun over here, and I'm giving it a lot of thought. But, you know, I'm working on this right now. I haven't got the answers. I'm just making my way through this like everybody else. Don't think for a second that I got all the answers. I'm just enjoying my life experience. But I would say that you should probably decrease aggression is largely tied to hormones, as I understand it. So you want to make sure that you're not putting more hormones into your body than you really need to know what to deal with. And the way to do that is to avoid eating a lot of red meat because they jack that crap full of hormones. I mean, red meat is packed full of it. So you know what? Cut the red meat out for, you know, a week and a half. You know, something like that. I, so far, have my fast has turned into the healthiest diet ever. I swear to God. What's happened is like the last 3 days, I'm like, okay, I'm going to fast. And then, you know, things happen because my life is very dynamic, which is a big excuse, but there it is. And I got dragged off to this little sushi place where I had a little bit of tofu and a bowl of rice, like totally Shaolin monk kind of stuff. And that's what I had yesterday. So once again, start fresh today. 9 falls, 10 rises. Today, day one of my fast, which actually this is recorded Wednesday. So maybe by the time you hear this, I'll be on day two. Go to my live journal. You'll be able to find out for sure. I don't know. Let's be positive. I'm sure today is day two. That's right. 9 falls, 10 rises. That's the whole idea. Now, we need to, but getting back to your whole question, you need to make sure that you look after your diet because your diet is probably the largest thing that's going to affect you. If you're doing martial arts is an external thing trying to change an internal thing. You want to change your diet in conjunction with martial arts, and I bank that in 30 days, if you were to like, even if you were to do a fast, clean a lot of the synthetic, a lot of the bad meats, the processed meats out of your diet, a lot of the processed food altogether out of your diet, start eating some organic stuff. I bet you your hormones, your anger, your aggression issues, because this is all begins and ends in the mind. You know, I bet you a lot of that would change. I bet you a lot of that would change for the better. And it wouldn't just be a Band-Aid solution like taking pills would be. But I bet you that you'll actually start getting yourself a little bit of peace. Also note that if you're, getting to the point where you're thinking, you know, I'm going to kill this person and your hands are shaking and you're like totally staring at them doing a Patrick Bateman, at that stage of the game, go buy yourself some grass. But, until that point, you know, just honest to God, change your diet and keep a tab on that and make sure you're not actually going absolutely batshit insane. Speaking of batshit insane, let's get into the news. Nanotech update. A group of scientists at the University of California, Berkeley. Yeah, Berkeley. Those people who are just, they're sexy down there at Berkeley. Is giving new relevance to the term sharper image by creating a super lens that can overcome the limitation of physics that has historically constrained the resolution of optical images. Okay, when the nanotech is overcoming physics, that's hardcore. Using a thin film of silver as the lens and ultraviolet light, the researchers recorded that images of an array of nanowires and the word nano onto an organic polymer at a resolution of about 60 nanometers. Okay, that's sick. They made the word nano on a display. Okay, you got to understand what this means here. They made the word nano appear on a display that is 60 billionths of a meter wide. So it's a micro nano display. In comparison, current optical microscopes can only make out details down to 1/10 of diameter of a red blood cell or about 400 nanometers. Dun, 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 dun. A breakthrough reported April 22nd issue of Journal of Science opens the doors to dramatic technological advantages and advances in nanoengineering. Well, there's a new term that could eventually lead to DVDs that store entire contents of the Library of Congress or computer processors that can quickly search through huge volumes of data, the researchers said. Well, we're never going to get a DVD holding the Library of Congress because they're never going to make that much information available in one location for any price. You know, you got to understand, that's why they're going to all these different musical devices with proprietary downloadings. On one hand, it's cool to have tech to download music into, but the thing is that all these encryption standards are using to put the, because that's what they are, they're coding them, right? It's a form of encryption to lock them into their certain music style. Sony's bad for this. Sony is always trying to hang on to their customers, make sure that you'll only buy Sony. Sony works well with Sony, 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 Sony. Which is what? And no one's gotten back to me on that Chiba City thing or not, but if you get a chance to get over there, I like devices that play media. I like devices that you can swap media between devices. That's why the CD, I don't think, is dead. And I think that we should probably hang back. Maybe the DVD can take over from the CD, and we should get DVD players that play MP3s. We should get DVD players that do everything. But I'm not so sure we should really be enforcing, you know, the iPods and all that kind of jazz. Now, granted, now, whoa, hey, hang on, Sean, I love my iPod. Okay, well, cool, cool. If you dig your iPod, as long as we keep enough scripts out there and enough information so that we can install Linux and keep control of this so that we're not controlled, that's something we need to be aware of. But, you know, it's a pretty interesting thing to see this happen. And who knows? Maybe with 60 billionths in a nano display, maybe that'll be what eventually will happen with the human eye. If we'll be able to, next step is then project it at that size and then project it on the back of the human eye. And then before you know it, oh, booyaka, we are inside cyberspace, baby. Next story, pissed off in the UK. UK music lovers are getting frustrated with restrictions placed on digital music tracks once they buy them from online stores, says PC Pro Magazine, pretty big mag. The magazine reported that people are also being turned off net music stores because of pricing and disappointing sound quality compared with CDs. Wow, you never get that complaint with peer-to-peer because it was free, and then they go buy the CDs. But when you're forced to buy the music you're previewing on from the online store, you get angry. The International Federation of the Phonographic Industry, the IFPI, or the pornographic industry, said legal music downloads rose by 900% in 2004. Last week, the UK's official singles chart included sales of legal tracks, as opposed to the sales of illegal tracks. Yet legal downloads are still fledgling in the music industry, accounting for 2% of the market, according to PC Pro's Nick Ross. What people don't understand is that when they buy an iPod or other digital music player, they're being tied into a system, said Mr. Ross, Deputy Labs Editor at PC Pro. Which is true, which is what I just said. People are being bought into it. They are getting roped into a system. Are we giving up our freedom for convenience? Are we giving up our freedom for convenience? You want to ask yourself that every time you're going to be doing something, every time you're walking around in the day-to-day world, every time you make a choice on something you buy. You want to ask yourself, am I giving up freedom for convenience? And chances are you are. Chances are you're rolling over and taking it. Why? Because it's convenient. You know, everybody's gone to Future Shop. If you haven't gone to Future Shop or Best Buy or whatever the equivalency is down in your, you know, the big box electronics store, Circuit City, whatever. You walk in there, and there's some poor bastard who's working in there, you know, and I don't hate them. You know, I hate who they work for, and I hate the job that they got to do. But you'll always find some poor bastard in there who all he cares about is making the sale. He, you know, the love in the marketplace is completely gone. There used to be a time when someone would walk in, you'd bullshit with the guy or girl for a while, and eventually they'd be like, so what are you into? And these guys are genuinely excited about tech. If you think about it, working in a gadget store, like some kind of Q Emporium, you know, and selling gear to other, you know, web heads ought to be the sexiest job ever. You'd be able to go over tech, know all the specs, make your recommendations, you know. People would be coming back. You'd be like Uber Fixer. But now it's all about get the sale. Get the sale. Screw everything else. Nothing else matters. Just the money. Go, 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 go. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's not how it should be. That is not how it should be. People go, well, Sean, you better grow up. You better kiss my ass. I have never knuckled under that kind of mentality, and I'm not about to, and I don't think you should either. If you're listening to this right now and you happen to work in retail, what if you start, try this on for size, what if you started treating people like people? What if you started going, hey man, how's it going? And you meant it. And they say, good. And you go, really? And they go, well, no, not really. And have a quick little dialogue, connect with someone for 10 seconds. Say, well, that's cool, man. What can I help you with today? You know, be a real person. Don't just be some factory drone. That's bullshit. We're all on this planet together sharing a life experience. We may as well try to make the best we can. You know? And another thing that really pisses me off, total segue from the show format, is people who get pissed off at other people because they don't speak the same language. That makes me insane. You know? It's the same thing as when you're standing in a bank lineup and you get the old people at the bank machine. You know, and they're trying to get the bank machine to work, or they're in the checkout line, and everybody behind them's like, oh, man, you know, these old people. It's got to be scary for these guys. Shit, it's scary for me, and I'm 31. Imagine for someone who's like 72, watched men land on the moon and heard about Kennedy getting assassinated. All of a sudden, the towers fell, and now they're talking about getting chipped on the radio, and everything is computers, and they're scared shitless of computers because they still don't got one. Everyone's got them on their wrists, in their purses, in their hands, hooked up to their eyes. It's got to be terrifying for people. You know, especially if you're from a foreign country. What about senior citizens or older people or even just people who move from these poverty-stricken countries like India, Africa, well, most of the world? They come here and all of a sudden everything's like high speed, low drag. Not only do you have to read, you have to be able to read electronic light. Holy crap. That's got to be hard, man. That's got to be hard. It's up to us who have a little bit more knowledge to help people with a little bit less knowledge get to our level. That's what it's all about. We're all in this together. Now, Vietnam vets are calling the USA war criminals. There's a story you're not going to get on the American Newswire. A decorated Vietnam veteran and now living in Kamloops, British Columbia, only about 5 hours from this very location, which I'm broadcasting from, says he's coming to Saturday's Vancouver Global Day of Action rally with a petition asking Prime Minister Paul Martin to withdraw Canada's welcome to U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice until the U.S. is in compliance with international law in Iraq. Wow. Rice is tentatively planning to visit Canada in April. And John McNamer of Kamloops, who's 57, who was awarded the Bronze Star Medal by the U.S. Army's 4th Infantry Division in Vietnam, says he believes that it's clear that crimes against humanity are now taking place in Iraq after an invasion that was illegal under international law to begin with. So this is a man on the ground, a Bronze Star winner from Vietnam. An American, I believe. Of course, there was 36,000 Canadians who fought in Vietnam. But regardless, we don't know if he's actually an American. He's a Vietnam vet, and that's good enough for me. So you know he's all about the boys. And you also know that he knows his shit. They don't just hand Bronze Stars out. He said it is morally unacceptable to welcome a U.S. leader who has personal responsibility for the decision to invade Iraq. A move, he said, clearly violated the Geneva Conventions and the United Nations Charter. Now, let's be real. I don't know much about Condoleezza Rice. I make fun of her sometimes because she weighs she looks, and that's immature. And you know what? I may even stop doing it because it's not really fair to pick on her because of the way she looks. It's not her fault. She's a bottle cap opener. But in all honesty, you know, I don't know if I would say that it was her decision to go into Iraq. That's pretty ballsy to say that. I think a lot of these people who we see in the public image are, in fact, puppets. I believe that there are other people actually in control. So before we start screaming about who should get shot, we need to bear in mind that they are probably only the messenger. I tell you to look to the Bilderberg Group. Not only is it objectionable to have these people here, but it is probably illegal under Canadian law, according to the late Canadian legal experts and lawyers against war law. He said, I know from their website that law advised the Prime Minister of the legal liability when President Bush visited recently. I hope they are still working on this avenue. Well, that's an interesting group right there. Lawyers against war. Considering lawyers generally tick me off. I think lawyers have way too much power in this country. And, well, on this continent, never mind the country. But, you know, if they're trying to, you know, I'll take any friends we can get, you know. Is there any lawyers who listen to this broadcast? That'd be funny if there were, because I may need your help eventually. Let me know. Drop me an email. If there's any lawyers listening to this, I'd like to know. Now let's talk about some of the people that are probably responsible and not Condoleezza Rice. Let's talk about the update in the Illuminati news. Yes, the Illuminati. For those of you who are under the age of 10 and happen to be listening to the Uncle Sean broadcast here, the Illuminati are the concept of the people who are in control. They are the puppet masters. These are the they. Every paranoid schizophrenic has a they, a them, or an it. This is my they. This is server's they, the Illuminati. These are the people in control. Bilderberg Group is a group of super rich assholes that get together every year or every couple of years in a big meeting, and no one knows what they talk about, but they're basically pulling strings. The Bilderberg Group and the Trilateral Commission, who is another great big, you know, nasty group, have interlocking leadership and a common agenda. Okay, now this is frightening. Okay? David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger are leaders of both groups. All right? The Trilateral's European chairman, Peter Sutherland, head of Goldman Sachs International, is also a Bilderberg leader. Okay, now you got to understand, these groups we don't hear about them in the news, ever. When was the last time you heard about the Bilderberg Group in the news? When did you hear about it? Bet you this is the first time you heard of it. Look it up. Do some research online. These people have scary power. Former House Speaker Tom Foley is the TC North American Trilateral Commission's North American chairman. The Trilateral Commission's meetings have inspired conspiracy theorists of powerful puppeteers who secretly pull the strings of world power as they seek to establish a new world order, the Times story said. The theories are partially based on fact. This is not the manic screamings of people claiming that the Queen is a lizard. These are not absolutely insane rantings. These are stories that are, in fact, based. In fact, you need to check this out. The Bilderberg Group and the Trilateral Commission exist to control the masses of the unwashed. We of the poor class. Now, there's a certain amount of class and caste system that cannot be avoided in any governmental setup. But I'm here to tell you, I've never really liked it. I like wealthy people who pretend like they're normal people. I don't like wealthy people who throw their wealth in other people's faces. I find it to be arrogant and gauche. I find it to be selfish. People who treat other people lesser because they just happen to not have the same mathematical figures as they do backing up their name. That's ridiculous. Now, those who would say, well, Sean, certain people have power, certain people do not have power. How would you gauge their power? How else would you work a hierarchy in society? I would work a hierarchy in society based upon exploration. I would work a hierarchy on society based upon choice. I will give you respect. You do not claim respect from me. That is how that works. If you have done things which I respect, I will respect you. If you are someone who is from a genre, for example, I meet an author like Naomi Klein. I've never read any of her stuff, but I respect her. Why? Because I know she's a mover and a shaker in the field. There's nothing more embarrassing to me than when some newbie jumps into a chat room and starts, you know, ripping on, say, Sim or Smokehouse or someone who's been around in the game for a long time. You know, you get these guys who are nobody, who have never really done anything, haven't even seen anything, and they start ripping on these guys for stuff. Now, sometimes their points are valid just because, you know, Smokey, Sim, or even myself, just because I've been around for a while doesn't make me invulnerable to criticism. But it'd be nice if we, on the internet, imagine for a second if we started to actually respect one another just a little bit. What do you suppose would happen next? Just a thought. Just a thought. I know that the internet is where we go to vent. I know the internet is where we go to vent our frustrations against, well, the world, take it out on other people, voice our opinions, all the rest of it. But what if there was just the slightest iota of respect, the basis for unity? On the web. My God, what a concept. Well, it seems that the net mercs have started working for the Metro Cops out here in Dark City. A. Aaron Weisberg slogged up to his attic at 5 a.m. to begin yet another day of combing through tips he'd received about possible pro-terrorist activity on the internet. It did not take long for one email to catch his attention. Ichalis.com was offering instructions on how to steal people's personal information off their computers. It was a new development for Islamic discussion site accustomed to announcing martyrdom operations or suicide bombings against U.S. troops and others in Iraq. Scary stuff. Weisberg quickly listed the discovery on his daily log of offensive and dangerous sites, alerting his supporters. A few days later, Ichalis experienced an unusual surge in activity, a hallmark of hacker attack, forcing the company hosting the site to take it down. It was another small victory for Weisberg, one of a new breed of internet activists, part vigilante, part informant, part nosy neighbor, as they search the web for sites that they say deal in theft, fraud, and violence. Weisberg says that he and his supporters are responsible for dismantling at least 650 and as many as 1,000 sites he says he's regarded as threatening, especially Islamic radical sites. "I'm sort of like a freelance investigator," Weisberg said. Like the foes they pursue, online crusaders like Weisberg are adept in using the internet's unique characteristics and its anonymity, speed, and ability to reach across nation-state boundaries. Some work alone and in secret. Others, like Weisberg, have managed to put together well-organized operations and run almost like companies. They can cause a wide variety, but stopping spam or holding large corporations accountable for poor products or service. There are groups that investigate murders, fight terrorism, and other crimes. These activists operate within the boundaries of what is legal and operate at the boundaries of what is legal and illegal. For his part, Weisbud insists that he only uses legal means to go after his targets. Posting on his site explains that in fighting crime, he does not think it is proper to commit one, but he admits he cannot always control the actions of those who help him. Now, I am here to tell you that generally speaking, this kind of a thing I'm guilty of doing, okay? Because we did the Digital Angel Project. Oh, no, wait now. What was that? Was that the Witch Hunt? That was the Witch Hunt Project, where we went out and took on pedophiles, okay? We started shutting down child porn sites. We were threatening people. There's all kinds of shit. Back in the day, one guy got into a wicked dialogue. One dude decided he was going to get all physical. The guy who owned a child porn site said, you come on by. And unfortunately, you know, there's some people who went by. You know, things were getting fairly escalated. Wasn't so good for him. Not that I care because he's a child pornographer. But still, you know, we've been doing this on the web for a while. It just happened to make the news now. So is what this guy's doing a good thing? Yes. Is it illegal? It's pretty close. It's pretty close, and you can bet that if, you know, just because he happens to toe the party line, he's getting away with it. So you want to be careful with stuff like this. If you're going to do stuff like this, make sure you keep it low-key, and you'll have to do it without receiving any kind of credit, because if you don't, chances are you're breaking the law. It's very easy to break the law with computers now, and all they got to do is decide to shut you down. They'll walk in there and enforce all the particular laws they want. They'll go through your software, find some stuff, nail you and send you off to jail forever. It's a whim law. They enforce it on their whim. Now, the Matrix Reloaded. You thought the last one went down a little easy, so did I. Now they're talking about something else. They're talking about a new and improved Matrix, which scares the living crap out of me. Florida law officials are contemplating a sequel to the controversial Matrix database that may be even more comprehensive than the original. Now, how is that possible? The first one had everything. The Multi-State Anti-Terrorism Information Exchange, or Matrix, contained billions of commercial and government records and was intended to help police track down terrorists or kidnappers. But the system was shut down on April 15th when the federal funds ran out. Hooray! And I covered it. Cheered. Considered overly invasive by many, the system's demise was celebrated by civil libertarians and WOGs alike. Barry Steinhardt, former associate director of American Civil Liberties Union, said the press release was a major victory of the long, hard fight against growing surveillance society. But Florida, which conceived and oversaw the Matrix, is not giving Steinhardt much time to savor its victory champagne as it explores a possible sequel. Florida law enforcement officials want Matrix 2, that's what they're calling it, to include more types of data than the original, including financial and insurance records, according to April 12th official call for information from vendors. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't that already happen, or was your purchase records not in the original Matrix? Because it was my understanding that everything was there. The document outlines Florida's intention to rebuild the system, early steps in the project's competitive bidding process. Mark Zedra, chief of Florida's Office Statewide Intelligence, said the state wants to rebuild the system and hopes other states will join. I hope not. As a matter of fact, now is the time to figure out how they're going to get other states to join and cut them off at the pass. Let them know that the Matrix is not something we want to get involved with. Let them know the Matrix is, in fact, a bad idea, an extremely bad idea, and something that must not be created. Once we do the competitive procurement process, and if we see there's an easy way to share information with other states may want to take advantage of it, Zedra said. Zedra. Or is that Zedra? Let me tell you about Thedra. Zedra. Zedra is the person building the Matrix. Now, is it me, or does that sound like a James Bond villain name? I am Zedra. I build the Matrix. Are you now? I'm not Neo, but I'm here because of him. Bang! Steinhardt said that while he didn't know anything of a proposed successor of the Matrix, he wasn't surprised. No, I can't really say as I'm too surprised. I kind of thought, you know, that the sun was coming out from behind the clouds. It's not on paper yet, though. We haven't lost yet, so don't just give up. Don't just throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. Because you do care. We have to keep on top of this thing. Find out what's going on with that. The Army of the Flying Monkeys will find out what's going on with that. And I will let the rest of you know as you rocket rig around the world. Maybe we can get all the rigs together. And we can use the rigs to transport our flying giant exploding toads. That will be our mobile operations. You know, because, you know, we can't really have the air cav. We don't have anyone with Black Hawk choppers yet. So maybe we get the truckers to be like our armored division. We could get the truckers together and run massive convoys across the highway. WOG truckers with giant toads. There you go. Sounds like a plan to me. That's an image. Now, here is something that is so blatantly propaganda, it makes me sick. And this is being run in a Brit paper. Check this out. You're not finding this in a lot of American press. A top cop from New Jersey has agreed to allow an IG chip to be planted in his arm. Now, this is a story right out of China. Let me get through this here. The police chief of Bergen County, New Jersey, Jack Smidged, was injected in the arm with a VeriChip implantable IG chip, according to spinsters from VeriChip. The chip transmits a unique 16-digit ID number via radio frequency, so if Jack takes a bullet walking to his desk in the morning, all his medical records will be available when he shows up at the hospital. Of course, the hospital he shows up will have to know he has the chip and be equipped with special scanners to read it. However, we are all sure it's all worthwhile. Now, when you get top cops injecting chips into their arms, that has echoes to me of like these crazy Chinese stories you hear where they're like, look at the bus driver. What an ideal citizen. He shows up every day and he takes his medication. Watch him drive the bus. Watch how he smiles as he greets everyone. What a good citizen. We need more citizens like the bus driver. That's exactly what this is. That is exactly what. Look at this top cop. Isn't this police officer amazing? He takes his medication. He stands up and helps get kittens out of a tree. Look how happy he is. All of this is because he's part of the system. You wouldn't want to be an outsider, so why don't you get chipped too? Be like the top cop. Join the winning team. VeriChip. No, wrong. Sorry. Gonna have to jam that broadcast because it's bullshit. It's all propaganda. We cannot allow ourselves to be chipped. If someone offers you a chip, Now, there is a line which you must draw in the mental sand, okay? There is the line in which you will stand up and say, no, I'm not taking part in this. Now, there are certain lines that you can cross. Sometimes you'll get the club card, and we all do it sometimes because we want to get the deal. I've stopped doing it, but some of us do. And you know, there's varying degrees of severity. Some of us are hardcore, like, no, I will do nothing. I'm diagnosed paranoid. Do not try to track me. And we live in our cars. But for those of us that don't live in our cars and who are trying to exist in society, maintain a marriage, job, life, what have you, sometimes our significant partners may wind up picking up coupons or other such sins of the devil. So what do you do? What do you do to draw the line in the sand? Personally, I'm pretty flexible, but I hold the fort. I've got a good killing field of consumer club cars and loyalty programs. I'm constantly at war to get rid of these things, to make sure they're all gone. The dark one, well, you know. She doesn't hook in as much as she could, and she doesn't listen to the show. So what do you do? Well, my wife never listens to me anyway, but we still love her. But honestly though, what is the mental line in the sand when you go, hey, I'm not doing that. That's it. That's the line right there. For me, it's getting chipped. All right. At what point do I put on the backpack and run? Like, what is the point when you go, right, I'm out of here. Poont. The AWOL bag gets grabbed and you're gone. I would say that point would definitely be when they show up with the cops, the guys in the white coats, and the chipping gun. At that stage of the game, at that stage of the game, you start drawing the sword from the sheath at that particular point, because I'm not getting chipped. You can kiss my ass. You're not putting something in my body, okay? Thanks. Now, it seems that a French court has banned DRM from DVDs. Emmanuel says a French appeals court just issued a ruling preventing the inclusion of anti-copyright measures on DVDs. Now, this is hot. This after a man who is not able to copy a DVD has purchased to a VHS cassette so he can watch it at his mother's place. Attaboy. Which he considered private copying and is in consumer right in France. Well, look at that. Private copying is a consumer right in France. Maybe we should adopt that. Rather than eliminating everybody's rights, maybe we should try to create some sort of symbiosis where everybody has rights. What a concept. He got the help of a consumer protection group to sue the film studio that produced the DVD. Film studios have 1 month to unprotect DVDs. I assume this is not a DVD that you already own. So basically, they've been given 1 month to stop issuing protection on DVDs from France. From those of you, as things progress in the DVD encryption market, I guess in France it's not legal, so where are you buying your DVDs from? Welcome to server, we can order online. Yes, for those of you in France who listen to the show, perhaps it is time for you to consider a nice business model to be selling encryption-free DVDs online for those of us with zone-free recorders. Notice all the regulations and restrictions. They got zones on the DVDs, they got zone on what regions, region coding, all the rest of it. It's just ridiculous, really. You know, now, if you're not scared enough if you don't have quite enough terror running through your system, I have got a story here that's going to give you a pucker factor that's going to grab buttons from the seat cushions, baby. Corpolitical mind reading. British scientists Monday reported they can read a person's unconscious thoughts using a simple brain scan. Let me read that again. That's a full sentence. British scientists Monday reported they can read a person's unconscious thoughts by using a simple brain scan. Scientists at University College London said they used a functional magnetic resonance imaging scan. They could tell what an individual was thinking, even when that person was not aware of it themselves. So how do you confirm it? If the guy's not aware of what he's thinking and you think he's thinking something, how do you confirm that what he's thinking is what he's actually thinking if you have no confirmation? Interesting. The fMRI, that's much better, I should have said that the first time, already are used by researchers to plot brain activity by looking at brain blood flow, which incidentally, I don't know how invasive one of these scans is, but it sounds kind of nasty and to do to an electrochemical thing. The findings, published in a journal Nature Neuroscience Monday, offer new methods of probing the subconscious, experts said. Okay, last place I want anybody running around is in my subconscious, for your own safety. Dr. Gerent Reese and John Dylan Hayes measured brain activity while volunteers were looking at different test objects on a computer screen. Now, what I'd like to know is who are the guinea pigs they're getting to sit down and do brain scan experiments on? Are they just students or what? By looking at the scan results, the scientists were able to predict what had been displayed on the computer screen. When two images were flashed in quick succession, the scientists could discern what had been shown better than the volunteers themselves. This is the basic step into reading somebody's mind. If our approach could be expanded upon, it might be possible to predict what someone was thinking or seeing from their brain activity alone, Reese said in a statement. Now, we're getting very near Minority Report with stuff like this. You have an 85% chance of committing murder. Therefore, we will isolate and incarcerate you now for liquefaction and recycling due to the fact that your brain chemistry, coupled with your DNA, puts you as a security threat in the New World Order. Do you think that's too far out of line? Okay, how about we just chip you and then leave it so that there's only certain areas you can go because of this threat? You're not able to buy a gun because of this threat. Do you see where this is going? No, this isn't science fiction. We have no personal rights, especially in the UK. So the question is not why would they do this? The question is what's stopping them? And the answer is nothing. This is how I create the after now. As I look at stuff like this and I go, okay, what is the logical progression for this, for the security paranoid and for those who are control mad? Well, quite obviously, it's to do brain scans. It's for legal uses. It's you get arrested, you get tied to a chair, and they start pumping watts through your skull, man. It's terrifying to me. I don't know. You know, people go, why are you afraid of that? What, are you afraid you got something to hide, Sean? Yeah, everybody's got something to hide. Everybody has the right to have something to hide. I don't want to be 3 of 5. I really don't. Okay, I like being me. I like being able to be in love. I like being able to love my wife. I like that. I think it's cool. I think everybody should have a chance to be in love, run in the rain, do all the reckless stuff that it is that makes you be alive. That's why people made Burning Man. That's why it's important that all cyber geeks, especially cyber geeks who get way too much screen time, go to Burning Man or some other such festival like Burning Man to get experience in the real world, so you know what it is we are fighting for. If all you get is logline time, then you need to get off the street for a while and get out there and understand what life and experience and maybe even, yes, what spirituality is all about, so that you know you got something worth fighting for. Believe me, it is worth fighting for. And stuff like this, although it does have uses, don't get me wrong, it must be watched, and it must be watched very, very carefully. Now, here's something I haven't heard about either. The death of analog TV. Interesting. Depending on an outcome of a discussion in Congress, television as we know it may end exactly at midnight, December 31st, 2006. That's the date Congress targeted a decade ago for the end of analog television broadcasting and a full cutover from analog to digital format. Whoa. If enforced, that means that overnight, somewhere around 70 million television sets now connected to rabbit ears or rooftop antennas will suddenly and forever go black unless their owners purchase a special converter box. Back when the legislation was written, New Year's Eve 2008, 2006 probably looked like a safe distance to as the dark side of the moon. But now the date is right around the corner, and Congress and the FCC are struggling mightily to figure out what to do. Now, if they actually do this and make it so that there's no one broadcasting analog signal to TV sets, well, that means it's outdated tech. And that means that opens up the venue for pirate broadcasting, pirate TV stations. Max Headroom, here we come, 20 minutes into the future. Congress, however, left itself a loophole in the 1996 legislation, imagine that, and could actually let the cutoff date slide by. Let's hope they do, and I think they will. But powerful lobbyists are now pressing legislators to set a date certain for the analog lights out. And why do they care? Because they want to make you pay for what you used to get for free. Anyone used to be able to buy a set from your local thrift store, take it home, plug in the rabbit ears, and maybe watch the news. Maybe catch a few stations. Low income would be available to get information, but now it's subscription only. Everything's digital. You got to pay for everything. You got to pay to get the good shows to educate your kids. Otherwise, welcome to the working class. The debate over when to throw the switch is a strange brew of big money, high technology, homeland security, what the hell do they want, and a single unanswered question. Just how angry are the couch potatoes going to be? It's a textbook example of why the future almost never happens as fast as technologists promise. No, it's a classic example and a textbook example of core politicals gaining control of the access to information. That's what it is. If you don't think it is, give your head a shake. Is there any reason to cut down TV? Like, I'm a big believer in turning off TV entirely. But don't try to hand me this and say, oh, no, this is an advent of technology. This is a good thing. No, it's not. This is more bad thing. Those of us out there that are hooked on TV will now not be able to get TV for free. Now there will be no dissemination of knowledge. What about the old people? What about the people who got no money, man? What about them? What about the people who know nothing about televisions? Who don't even have a converter? These are the radio crowd. There's lots of them out there. You know, nobody gives a shit about the little guy. Pisses me off. Well, I care. And I hope, and I can almost guarantee this date's going to slide by. But I didn't even know this was on the chopping block, and I bet you didn't either. Let's talk about stainless steel rats. An elite squad of real but remote-controlled rats could soon be scouring any bases and sniffing out explosives for the U.S. military. They're a single card that takes 1-1 to tap, and they band with all other cards. They're called plague rats. The rodents are directed using a series of brain implants, which can be operated wirelessly from a distance of several hundred meters. Wow, what great harbingers of disease, what? Now, for the first time, the researchers behind the project have demonstrated the ability to control rodents' movements before activating their sniffer dog instincts. This is sick and weird. John Chaplin and his colleagues at State University of New York says that rats could eventually sniff out hidden weapons or act as remote video sensors for military and police forces. My God. Cyborg vermin slaves? With colleagues from the University of Florida in Gainesville, U.S., they have previously shown that brain implants can be used to steer rats over an assault course. An assault course? Or is it an obstacle course that you've called an assault course? Or is there people actually shooting at the rats? Or home on a particular odor, or home in on a particular odor. But combining the two tricks is a significant step towards turning them into robo-rodents. What a friendly way of saying completely mentally raped animals and forced into slavery. It is important to have a switch between behaviors, Chaplin told New Scientist. Obviously, there's a lot of very important potential applications. Now, what if we step this up from rats to dogs? So you've got, attack dogs on remote control with brain implants. Is that a huge step? Rats are a pretty complex organism. The rats are remotely controlled using electrodes inserted into their medical forebrain bundle, part of their brain associated with reward, and the somatosensory cortical area, which is linked to the right and left whiskers. They've turned rats into wireheads and are using them as weapons. This is some bizarre bioweapon shit right here. Stimulating the whiskers area of the brain, along with the forebrain reward region, encourages the rats to move forwards or either left or right, exposing the rats to smell while stimulating the medical forebrain bundle and calling them to act like miniature sniffer dogs, following an odor by instinct. Recent experiments have now shown these two behaviors are compatible and the rats can be directed to an area before being encouraged to sniff out a target. Okay. Now, does anyone else think this is about the most immoral story they've ever come across in recent time? That is sick and weird, and I submit it for your approval. Now, I understand that, medical experimentations are going on with rats. And there's people saying, well, Sean, if you don't have a problem with medical experimentation, why would you have a problem with this? There's a big difference between trying to cure diseases and enslaving animals to be soldiers. Okay, this is, why stop at rats? Shit, let's wire up gorillas. You can bank that that's what they're going to do. Well, it saves human lives. Well, we're going to take chimpanzees. Or rhesus monkeys, or God knows what else. The SWAT team already wants one down in the States. So what's to stop them from taking chimpanzees, sharks, dolphins, all kinds of animals, hooking them up as wire heads, and enslaving them to the machines so that they become weapons? Now, once that happens, okay, they're using the military as well, and this is happening right now, for domestic operations. So the FBI could have your house searched by some crazed ape. Now, as far as I'm concerned, right now on law, if you kill a cop dog, you're guilty of killing a cop. So you can just follow that natural progression and see what kind of time you get for geeking some ape when it's coming in to trash your world. You see how they do this? You see how they spin this? And it all starts with remote control rats. Sick and weird. No two ways about it. Today's daily hack is a thing called Fedora for Microsoft Windows XP, or how I got my wife to love Linux. I bought my wife a new laptop with a stipulation she would have to give Linux a try. Now, that's a total Linux Nazi thing to do. Why, you ask? Reducing my load as the family sysadmin is the biggest reason. Reducing her frustration is another. If you or a family member have ever used Windows, then you understand both. Okay, I use Windows, and I don't think it's that frustrating, but nice try. Since she was kind enough to give Linux a shot, she already uses Firefox on Windows. Well, it's the same thing. I use Firefox, too, and so does all the logs. I thought it would feel more familiar to her. So I chose Fedora Core 3 as the operating system and decided to give it an XP feel. Now, this is a good idea for those of us out there, like myself, who are not totally on Linux, which is a good idea. GNOME with Blue Curve was a good start. So there were just a couple main things I needed to stimulate to create the Windows desktop and taskbar. And the guy has a complete how-to there on his site. It looks very cool. And you could probably even do this for your parents, for people you don't know. It's very, very neat. Also there, if you're not ready to make that switch over, I have a link to a thing called React OS. React OS is an open source effort to develop a quality operating system that is compatible with Microsoft Windows applications and drivers. Now, this is very similar to the Windows application, but I submitted to your approval because it was submitted to me for mine. Very, very cool. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in these crazy times. They would be Forley, Dave, The Grey Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melican, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, Art, Diary, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, and Alan. That's an army right there, baby. Those are the people who are now currently involved in the war against the core political. And the reinforcements, the new and subscribers who showed up to help the fight, were Druid Y. Simaru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. Thank you so much. And if you would like to join the fight and keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Every little bit helps. And special thanks to the Army of the Flying Monkeys, some hard netrunners. We need a logo for the newsreel of the Army of the Flying Monkeys. That's what we need. We need a patch or something, you know? Think 12 Monkeys as your inspiration. That's what I say. So the hard netrunners were McMookie, Dead Code, Lion, Meg Progman, Ricky Rocket, Visage, Phoenix, Zen Penguin, Slipstream, Sabo, Wyandi, Dubiex, Monochrome, Bonsai Poppy, Aaron, Psy, and No Delete. No digital baptisms today, but don't forget about the upcoming events. We got Linux Fest and Phoenix Fest. Check those two out. And thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. And if you have access to sensitive information or the pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's NEWSREAL at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you pick up this album, The Floydian Propulsion Project. And I got to tell you, of a lot of albums I've had acquired my way, this album is on my essentials list. Now, there's a lot of people out there that go, well, Sean, I don't know. You know, I like some of the music in the background. Some albums I throw on there because I think they're cool. But there's those albums that come along that you know transcend time and space and that you're going to have this album in your collection forever. This is an essential album. If you buy this album, I guarantee you will enjoy it, as you can probably tell from the music in the background. It's an amazing mix of Floyd. If you're a Floyd fan, don't even question it. Just go buy it. It's an amazing, amazing album. I can't talk enough about it. Chock full of tracks, and it's just sexy. I'm going to leave you now with a track from Wayne and Wax called Aya Dat, and this was sent to me by Kizzle. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Kirk here.
Ding dong! Oh! The champagne's not Corbell. Uh-oh. Gotta go.
Computers can do that?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
That's wrong, and I can't get up.
Man, I wish you could just shut your big mouth.
Did you have any trouble getting in?
No, the guy with the rubber glove was surprisingly gentle.
Do you swear on the Constitution of the United States to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Ain't no thing.
Where'd you do that?
Yeah, what? That's right. Cut the chit chat. You know we're in that. Yeah, get back. We're in that. Yeah. Well, we ain't a wax on the beats, yo, we're in that. And ADB singing sweet, yeah, we're in that. And if Wise makes three on the Boston Kingston link, gon' flip that, yo, we're in that. And if we put it on the street, what, we're in that. It's like you heard it in your sleep, cause we're in that. And if you try to count sheep, you're hypnotized by the beat. Butterflies that they bust, trust it, in that. I like Wise and ADB on the app after dark. Meanwhile, before we head to Cashew Park, under the mango tree, the eye grid, we have a spark. Getting ready for the show, so we sit, laugh, and talk. Then we step up in the dance from the back of the place and bum rush the show like it was back in the days. And when they opened up the mic, we attack in the stage. And 10 times out of 10, you know, we mash up the place.
Boston most wanted to a Jamaica finest. Come together, pan a chat, guilty your highness. Love my favorite number when my chat, we never nineless. Shad, I have a new gun, but we call it the timing. So you know what I feel like, it's a politics track. Joanne, I was white, and Damien, I was black. Be cool, watch your word, and be easy when you act. Before me turn the whole club in a 100-meter dash. And if we, I have to skunk, then I hit that. And if the Chris met me drunk, then I hit that. And if you step up to my face, and my gun up on my waist, and my pop it off a blaze, then I hit that. And if your girl just breathe, then I hit that. And if you have a violent feed, then I hit that. Suppose the tune, I take the lead with a platinum speed. And the player hit that speed, then I hit that.
You know we take players like these to make the ladies get wild. As we step out the ride, and all the party just squall. Talks like we ain't on wasps, we make the ladies love smile. Cause you know we know for bring back the vibes. You know we got nothing but love, but we having good times. Then my big bad bass, it made J.A. girls wise. Now we not left out the girl, and call the girl that look fine. Do it for hours, do them left on my mind. When you're my depth on a big bad beat, then I hit that. They make ladies, I move up them feet. Then I eat that. Then if they all look sweet and they wanna be with me, then I got to admit, but now I eat that. When we say we're cruising at the summer, yo, I eat that. When we say we're busting for the summer, yo, I eat that. When all the girls are at the party and them sipping on Bacardi, I'm in the smoking herbs, then I eat that. Yo, I eat that. Me tell ya, yo,
yes.
Me know I eat that. Me tell ya, yo,
yeah.
Me know I eat that. You know I, yo, me let them in the flow. So much I eat that. Crazy lame man, I pretend them say I eat that.
How you know?
Gangsta,
I eat that. Wax.